Almighty, and we thank you for loving us first. No good dwells in us, and our heart is deceitfully wicked. And yet, Jesus, you walk in, you take that stony heart and replace it with a heart of flesh. That's a miracle, so we're all walking miracles when we accept you. We're evidence of things not seen, but Lord, we got a lot of hope, and we look forward to heaven. You said it, and that settles it. Lord, today, if someone's here with a burden or with something on their heart, or Lord, they might not even know you, help them remember that picture that, behold, you stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears your voice, and I'm sure we'll hear your voice today, that still small voice, if we hear your voice, and open the door, that you'll come in and dine with us and us with you. So, Jesus, you promised us fellowship, and I pray that you reward those here seeking you today. Thanks for all you do, and we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We need a Bible in your hands, and if you would take one. Anybody need a Bible today?
No.
Yeah.
All right, good.
Anybody need one on that side? Or? If y'all got anything, if you need a Bible, we'll be glad to put one in your hands. We've got a current series called Anxious for Nothing. I could have probably been,
Perry. You got
somewhere? Anxious for Nothing. I could have probably made a fortune if they were just, well, they don't even have to pay me. I could have been on the Weather Channel this past week preaching this message. What do you think? Here comes Florence. Well, here comes God. It might be destruction. Might not be. I don't know, but I'm just going to say stay calm because I find when I worry, it really doesn't change anything. Anxious for nothing, finding calm in a chaotic world. So if we'll just get you a good breath. I gave you an example a couple weeks ago, and see if you remember it, that if you're driving along and you look down and you're about to run out of gas, you hadn't noticed it until then. So you certainly hadn't worried about it. But then you look down and you see the gas, and it's like, oh, it's almost empty. And from then on, that steals our thoughts. That's all. We drive along, keep looking at it like it's going to change it. So we glance down at the gas gauge and see if it's changed. There are no gas stations. There's no place we can pull off. Wouldn't want to anyway. Let's keep going. And yet, that'll consume us. It'll just be, that's all we think about. Correct? And then you finally get off and get gas. Now, it's hard-headed mental sometimes. Look, gas station. Oh, we drive on by. I can get one more. One more. It's like, but that's us stubborn. Why don't we pull off and get gas? We should. But my point is, why do you worry? We'll worry about something that we're supposed to have 6 to 9 inches of rain by now. I don't know if it's rained an inch. And I'm not saying, don't get me wrong or don't misinterpret what I'm saying. Yes, be prepared. But we will think the worst sometimes, won't we? Max Acato was standing in a line like at McDonald's or whatever. And he looked forward. He was waiting on his time to go up and buy his coffee. Lindsay buys coffee. He likes coffee. He is a big... He's stuck at Liberty to come out the desk in a coffee mug right there, so that showed me what, you know, he loves coffee. Anyway, he's standing in line to get ready to go up, and this guy in front of him, long hair, ponytail, looked like a biker gang, yeah, you know, and he went. And he said, he thought this, didn't say it, he thought this and said, oh, yeah, I must be a renegade, you know, he's a rebel, he's this, he's that. Ugh. Matter of fact, they had the judge and Joe Horse's guy going heaven or hell. Yeah. Oh, he's going to hell, he looks like he's awful. The guy turned around with, you know what? You look like a guy that I watch on TV. You remind me of Max Lucado. We just love his books, and he's a great guy. And I'm really growing in God, you know, in God's grace with his help. He says, I was almost too embarrassed to tell him that I love Max Lucado. Max already had him pegged. He's going to hell. God's a solid Christian, and we do that. So we worry, or we judge, or we figure out we know more about God. Last week I gave you a couple stories, and I won't tell those again, but it was about a job that I applied for and didn't get. I didn't even get an interview. And it was about a mouse in my house that God dropped right before me. But my point was, God is in the big things, and God is in the, yeah, little things. God will take care of us no matter what. And I find this is true in my life. The more time I spend with Jesus, and the more time we spend with Jesus, the less time we spend worrying. We will be consumed with God instead of consumed with worry. If you worry a lot, what will you get sometimes? An ulcer. I think we spend more on the average of America right now, more pills and more money on pills and this and that than we ever have. So in other words, we are a stressful nation. And if we could just somehow turn things over to God, we'd be so much better off. The key to less fret, more faith, could possibly be this right here. We need to focus. Today, my mind is on God. Now, right now, we're focused pretty good on Him. I mean, some of us might have our mind elsewhere, but my key thought today is focus. Andy taught me a lesson years ago, and right here it is. We went down to Camp Tapawingo, and Andy would sit out there with a magnifying glass and burn letters on the words, and pretty soon letters on the board, and just take words out. With his steady hand, he could make clocks out there. And people thought, how in the world do you do that? Because if you take a strong beam of light, and it just, it's almost like a laser, it can concentrate right there on a piece of wood, you can accomplish a lot. What you've done, you've taken all this power of the sun and you've just narrowed it down. If I can take God's power and just narrow it down, and He will just sort of, we can burn a hole in our worries, we'll soon forget what we're really there for. Well, if we're worried and we're going to gripe and we're going to, oh, those worries, just, we start to pray with that on our mind, and the next thing you know, we're praising the Lord. And again, I gave you an idea. Focus, that's my idea. Would you turn to Hebrews chapter 12? Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Anxious for nothing. And as you get to Hebrews chapter 12, I'm going to read you Hebrews chapter 12. In Max's book it's entitled Anxious for Nothing. And by the way, I've got a book right up here, Overcoming Worry. If you want to grab one of those, and I just want us to get away from the worry. Now, I didn't say your problems can go away, and sometimes they still might hit. Check this out. In her short 13 years, Rebecca Taylor has endured more than 55 surgeries, medical procedures, and approximately 1,000 days in the hospital. This girl's 13. She spent 3 years of her life in the hospital bed. Kristen, Rebecca's mom, talks about her daughter's health complications with the ease of a surgeon. The vocabulary of most moms includes phrases like cafeteria food, slumber party, and too much time on the phone. Kristen knows this language, but she's equally fluent in the vernacular of blood cells, stents, and most recently, hemorrhagic stroke. In her blog, she wrote this. She didn't even know what the word meant. She said, this past week's new landmine was the phrase, possible hemorrhagic stroke. A phrase I've heard dozens of times used by numerous physicians over and over and over and over, but that phrase didn't matter to me until they said it was what my daughter might have. And as soon as they told me that phrase consumed what? My thoughts. I just quit thinking of everything else, and this is it. And then she said, I went into church one day. By the way, guess who the pastor is? Max Licato, my pastor, started a new series called Anxious for Nothing. Does God know what we need or what? This past week's, just amazing. This past Sunday, our preacher, Max Licato, started a very fitting series on anxiety. We reviewed the familiar Philippians 4:6 verse, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving present your request to God. I presented my request to the Lord as I've done so many times before, but this time I wanted to make it different. I needed more than just to read the verse and let it go past me. And so using Philippians 4:8-9 as a guide, I found my answer. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, well, what was true in my life at that time, sure I might have had a problem, but the blessing of all family members eating dinner together. Whatever is noble, the blessing of enjoying each other's presence outside of a hospital room. Whatever is right, the blessing of experiencing my two sons' daily lives. Whatever is pure, the blessing of all three children laughing and playing with each other. Whatever is lovely, the blessing of watching Rebecca sleep peacefully in her bed at night. Whatever is admirable, the blessing of an honorable team working tirelessly on Rebecca's care. If anything is excellent, the blessing of watching a miracle unfold. And if anything's praiseworthy, the blessing of worshiping a Lord who is worthy to be praised. Think about these things. So I decided that's what I'm going to do. And I did. And as I meditated on these things, I stopped the dreaded phrase, hemorrhagic, I'm probably going to say that. Virginia's our resident expert medical field, and I should have just, it reminds me of hemorrhaging, and it's like a stroke that might start bleeding. Makes you think you can identify with that?
Hemorrhagic.
Hemorrhagic. Now, is that what they said you had?
Yeah, that's one of the strokes I had.
So we're talking about, do you think, I could be Max Licato, and you can be Kristen right here, and I know Kristen's a mom, but you could be Rebecca. So I just thought I'd make the point, though, that all these things, when we hear them, they say, Joe, where are these? These are 1,000 miles away. Now, this is here at Life Point. I could be Max, and you can be Rebecca. Wow. And I'm proud of us. I think we sort of did what this woman did. We didn't worry. When I went into the hospital room, Liz wasn't all, oh, I'm going to die. She's like, oh, look. But then, those all sleep. She was so nervous, she fell asleep. No, she wasn't nervous. And we prayed for her, and here she is. Does Max's church do the same thing? Well, this woman said, I got tired of the what stroke?
Hemorrhagic.
Sucking the joy out of my life. And I instead said, I'm going to give it over to God. And when I dwelt on that bountiful blessings in my life, at that very moment, the peace of God transcends all understanding, and it did guard my heart, and a true unexpected miracle happened. You're in Hebrews chapter 12. How does Rebecca, or how does Kristen, how do these people do it? How does Liz do it? How do we all do it? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that this so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out before us. Let us fix, and some versions would say focus, our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary, we could say anxious, we could say fretful, and lose heart. Because see, we lose heart so easily. Therefore, if we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let's focus our eyes on Jesus. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Since then you have been raised with Christ, if you know Jesus as Savior, set your hearts on things where? Above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things where? Above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. So let the peace of God rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. And whatever you do, wherever, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. You say, okay, be real plain. Okay, as long as you keep your eyes focused on Jesus, what? We'll be more at peace. But my problems might still be there. Okay, they might. But at least I'm not consumed by them. At least I'm not consumed. At least I'm not just overshadowed. Instead, if you sit there and focus on your problems, then often they'll still be there. So why not we just pull the phrases out right here? We got to fix our eyes on Jesus. We got to set my heart on things above and set my mind on things above. When Stephen, the first deacon of the Bible, was also the first martyr, you don't have to look it up, but if you go over to Acts, it says when he was being stoned to death, facing death, he looked up, found Jesus, and I don't know, you can interpret this the way you want, but I like to think, where is Jesus? He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And it says, Stephen looked up and saw him standing. I just think it's cool. I think Jesus is going to come on. And he was waiting on him. And Stephen is so glued on Jesus right there that he doesn't even necessarily feel those rocks as hard. But Stephen is a unique man. What's different about Stephen than you? Both of us have the same God. Both of us have the same Spirit living in us. Why is Stephen buried? Quit believing that. So we can both have that power? I would think so. Max gives an illustration. I'm going to borrow it from him. He says something like this. You can be, then, if I focus my eyes on Jesus and I keep getting rid of the thoughts. By the way, has anybody been tempted this week? You show your hands. Come on. Three of you.
I am.
Now, what you do is, let's say the devil says, look at this. Say this wrong. Do that. Nope, I refuse. And I don't look at his temptation. And if I can stay focused and avoid that, pretty soon, I'm okay. But if I turn one thing and I start entertaining it, picture it like this. Those temptations, those thoughts, those anxious thoughts, those fretful thoughts, picture it like an airplane. And that airplane, and you're the air traffic controller, and that airplane is flying around you, and for some reason, it's looking for a place to land. Do not let the plane of worry land in your mind with its awful cargo. So here comes the plane. And do you let it land? Nope, nope. We request permission to land. No, you don't. You do not get permission to land. And I just let it fly on by. I don't entertain that thought. You're the air traffic controller for your own mind. Well, this plane just sort of hovers over you. You ever seen a plane do that? Okay, maybe not. But anyway, if this plane hovers, can I land in your mind? The devil says, can I just start taking this one thought that's a temptation? By the way, is tempting sin? Jesus was tempted. So temptation is not the sin, it's sin when we give in to it. So can I land in your mind for a few minutes? And I don't want you to raise your hand because it's not my point to embarrass you at all. But I know if I entertain the thought just for a minute, then how long? Temptation sort of wants you to say, pay attention to me. And I think it was Ed Stetzer that said something like this. Sin will always do what? It'll always take you to where you didn't want to go. It'll keep you longer than you thought it would keep you. And it would what? It would rob more joy than you ever thought it would. In other words, it's not worth it. But we will give in to it. And the next thing you know, now my mind is off Jesus. It's off the things above. And I'm sitting there looking at the earth. I go to the dentist sometimes. And I'll go in there. And I can remember before. Someone's dying. You know, you're looking on the other side of the wall. And I've heard a dentist actually say this one time. We were on different stalls, so to speak. I was over here in this one. He walked in and said, you must have liked your teeth. Talking to someone else, I went, ouch. You must have liked your teeth the way they were when God gave them to you, because you ain't touched them since then. I don't know. It's a ton of work we could do in your mouth. Good gracious. I mean, we're going to have to pull and fill and everything. Then he came over to mine. You nervous? That was when I was younger. And you could just hear that. You know, you hear that drill going off. Can we do this without the drill? You know, or something like that. As I got older, I've actually fell asleep in the dentist chair before. I go back there and. You with me? What? You okay? Oh, yeah. I thought you'd faint. No, I'm asleep. I mean, it's okay. Well, aren't you worried? Nope. Don't care. What can I do about worrying? I cannot change you, so I'm just going to be calm. I'm going to be that way when tempted. I'm going to stay calm. God, you take it from me. And so I'm going to say, get out of here, Satan, and you're the air traffic controller of your mind. Keeping your eyes on Jesus. You say, okay, can you be more direct? Be careful what you think, because your thoughts can what? Run your life. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. You're the bouncer for your mind. Okay? So if I show up and say, let's talk about Jesus, come right on in. Hey, I'm here with doubt and anxiety. Don't come in this place. I'm not going to let you worry me. This job's going to kill me. You can't think that way. God, I'm going to come to you. It is concerning. I'd like a better job. But I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to dread going to work tomorrow. I am not going to hate doing what I'm doing. Have I ever done that before? I substituted a year. I dreaded the phone ring. Probably one of the worst years of my life. So that's quite a statement. It was. I mean, I just had to lie awake on. He's going to call me. Somebody's going, ring. Hi, Mr. Moser. Can you be a French teacher? And No, I cannot. I cannot be a French teacher down at Lord Bonnet or wherever. I didn't want to. Can you come over to Patrick Henry today? And no, I don't. I mean, but I guess we need the money, so I'd go. break up a fight, have to go to court to be one of the witnesses. I dreaded it. I hated it. I called the roll one time. The person wasn't sitting where they were supposed to. You need to move over here. Got up, threw a chair against the wall. Welcome to Patrick Henry. I mean, if I want to be a warden, you know, at a prison, let me have it. But that's insane. I hated it. I almost felt like, what school do you want me to go to? You know? I don't want to do that. I don't want to dread working. I don't want to, do we have to do this? God damn her. You've never heard anybody say that, have you? Unless it's the mom who has to fix it. But anyway, it's like, oh, great. So moms, when you go and see the pile of clothes, we can't do that. Just laugh and sing while you're watching. But God's got to give me peace. He will. The Bible says it will, and he's either telling you truth or just pulling your leg. God doesn't do that. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Because you see, my thoughts become my words, and my words become my actions, and my actions become my habits, and my habits become my character. You may not know anybody, but I'm sure, Brett, you do not avoid people at Sillies, but would you have people that you prefer probably not to talk to? I mean, it's like, every time I see him, he's like, I do at Salem, it's like, there are people I would rather talk to when they sit there. Oh, hey, how are you doing? You're going to have a great day. Yeah, I wouldn't mind teaching boy for these kids. I actually had somebody say that to me before. And I think, this is going to be a sad time for your student. Love teaching, hate the kids. Love being a doctor, hate sick people. Wow. Yeah, wrong business. Where in the world did I get these verses from? From the thing that says this. Or is there a chapter? Chapter 4 of Philippians. And I want you to notice, I'm going to pull certain things out of that. And there they are. Rejoice. He said, I don't feel like rejoicing. You know what? As kind as I can say it, tough. Get over it and rejoice anyway. Find something good to say. Dave Early, one of my professors at Liberty, he said he was called as a pastor when he was in Ohio and a woman was going to kill herself. The husband called and said, Pastor Early, you got to get here. This woman wants to end her life. She's locked herself up basically in the bathroom, and I don't know what's going to happen. Okay? He said, I went there, and I didn't even know what I was doing. But I spoke, and I said this. If you can tell me 100 things right now that you're thankful for, will you come out of that bathroom? Sure. And then he said, I thought, why don't you don't come up with 100? He says, I've said something wrong. But he said within about an hour or so, well, I'm thankful for my daughter, I'm thankful for my son, and we do have a house, and I've got neighbors, and I've got, he said she ended up coming up with 100 things. I locked the door and came out. See, she had good things in her life. She had just not been thinking of them. She instead thought of all the things that were bad. So bad that she went to end her life. And see, suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. I still just cannot imagine someone saying, I just want to end this. Like a Robin Williams, one of the funniest people who's probably ever lived on the planet, and wants to kill himself because he's got nothing to live for. Man, you're filled with laughter. You make other people laugh. You say, well, maybe he had a case of whatever. Well, I don't know. But still, I want to rejoice. I'm going to find something that I want to keep saying praise the Lord for. I don't want to be anxious. How can I keep from doing that? I'm going to talk to God and focus on Him. The peace of God will guard my hearts and my minds, and we'll think about what such things as I just read. And if we put them into practice, form habits, it's not easy. And the God of peace will grant me, and He'll hold me. So I've got a few R's that you probably notice in this passage. If I rejoice, and I resolve not to give in to worry, and if I pray, that's all for my request to God, and if I reflect on what He's already done, I've actually said this to Him before, maybe you have. God, if you don't do anything else, you've done enough. You ever think that? Whew. Reflect. And then for too long, it becomes a routine. I'm going to give you those things again. I want to pull this out. Now, hang on. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. First R is rejoice. Find something to be happy about. How old was your dad when he passed away, Jeff? 83. What do you got right now that makes you happy thinking of your dad? Memories. so I can go out there to Joe's house. And although it might put a tear, it's sort of like, you can see, Pop's pipes. And Pop's chair. And you just fill it in. And see, I know Joe. Joe doesn't say, yeah, God took my day. He doesn't do that. Pop will come over and see me at the shop. And see there, you fill yourself with good memories. Can you find something to rejoice about? What's the awful thing? Jesus died on the cross. What's the good news that we rejoice? Jesus rose from the grave. Rejoice. Resolve to not be anxious. Resolve to quit worrying. Right now, make a point. You say, God, you're right. However I've said it, and I don't know if I've said it really well, but right now, resolve your heart. No more worrying. No more worrying. This is it. No more worrying. Christians in God's hands. No more worrying. No more. The devil hates it when we have that resolve. Request. Let God know what's worrying you. God, this plane's trying to land and got a load of worry on it. I'm not going to worry. And God, you take care of it. Matter of fact, you're a good God, and you love me, and I love you. And we're going to work on it, and pretty soon that plane of worry cannot land in your mind. Reflect. And God, I just want to be thankful for what you did last week in my life. And you start reflecting back, that's the memories you were talking about. See, I could complain my dad died at 76. Why didn't he live to be 90? I had him 76 years. It's sort of like the old adage of the glass of water. Is it what? Is it half full or half empty? Some people are always, half empty. I went through 2 weeks of school and people would come in there and go, hey, got 2 weeks under our belt. You know what some people say? About 170 more days of, wow. quit griping. Yeah. Almost Christmas. I don't know how long I'm going to take you. You find me a job, you can go ahead and sit and get up at 3 every day and make a living talking. I mean, I'm going to pick on myself. Is talking really work? I mean, I'd rather do what I do than dig a ditch. There are some people have to crawl on the ground and get dirty and all. I'm thankful I can do what I do. I come out whistling one day after 7 periods. Somebody actually said, what are you whistling for? Just to irritate you. No, I swear just no. Why? See, I was worried about my after school class. I said, wait a minute, God, that plane of worry ain't landing in my mind. You take care of after school. Devil, you're going to have about 30 kids, and they're all going to be demons. And they're going to rip your hair out. Don't worry there. They're all going to be worried. They're going to drive you crazy, and they're going to do it. I said, God, I refuse to worry. I'm going to be fine. How many people in my after school class right now? 6. But you still going to have it? Oh, yeah. Now, they'll probably add a few more tomorrow, but if I just go in there and give people to God, God, you take care of them. I'm okay. Quit worrying. Pray and ask God. Reflect on how He's already taking care of me. And I'm guilty about that. God will do a miracle practice right in front of me and I'll turn around. But God, can you do that? So we got to reflect a lot, and I just let these things become habits. So every day before I get out of bed, before my feet hit the floor, if you say, I can't think of anything to pray, pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our what? Daily bread. And speaking of that, you'll go off and you'll start praying. See, but that got you started. It's a prompt. And then you're praying. And you say, I sort of like it. Oh, yeah, I got to hurry up and get to work here. So busy praising Jesus. I want that to be my routine. Yeah, but that's... It's easy for you to say. Things like that just don't happen to us. The author of this book, it happened to him. Here's what he said. During the very weekend I was editing this book, telling people not to worry, I put this chapter to the test. I had just edited, went through it, and I received a call that my wife, Dylan's father, wasn't doing well. He'd been sick for several months. He suffers from congestive heart failure and increasing dementia. He is, how old was your dad?
83.
How old was my dad? 83. He's 83 years old. But Max says this about his dad-in-law. Neil's mom had passed into heaven a few months earlier, and he had been on a steady decline ever since. And his cardiologist told us that his heart might last only a few more weeks. He was in an assisted living facility about 5 hours away, and Dylan felt a strong leading that we needed to move him to somewhere. We needed to do what? Bring him home. So I immediately, like the good solid Christian that I am, started worrying. What are we going to do? We're going to have a hospital bed in the living room? Or are we going? I just need to meet Max one day. I'll give him a big hug because I'm him, I think, or he's me. I had a 71 Duster. He's got a 73. It's just, I mean, it's like, I didn't dread it when my mom was sick. And we thought, well, we're going to bring her home. And I said, I'd be glad to have Mama around. And Jenny clicked, and she said, we're going to have a hospital bed in the living room. We're going to do different things. And I said, Jenny, I'm not worried. I'll just be glad to have Mama. But what do we do? We're not married. What are we going to do? And God says, it's okay. Instead of taking you to your home, I'll just bring her mine. God took my mama home that week. I never got. So if I'd have began to worry and fret, all those would have been for naught. Max, he could have worried. So here's what he gets to do. We drove to the city to evaluate the situation. Everything we saw confirmed what we had heard. He was weak. His thoughts were erratic. He was in need of constant care, more than the facility was equipped to provide. Later that night in the hotel room, I told Elin she was right. We needed to move the father to our house. Then came the meltdown. With the rest of the family busy making plans, I wandered into the labyrinth of dread. He just started letting the planes do what? Land. I began to envision life with an elderly man in our house, the caregivers, the oxygen tank, the hospital bed, the toilet issues, the calls for help in the middle of the night. Anxiety dragged me into a bare-knuckle cage fight, and by the time I went to bed, I was bruised and bloody. And after a fretful, fitful night of sleep, I awoke and said to the Lord and to myself, it is time for you to practice what you preach. In other words, he resolved to do what was right. I set out to lasso my thoughts. I began making a list of blessings. See, we reflect on what God's already done. Psalm 103:2 came to mind. Oh, my soul, bless God. Don't forget a single blessing. Rather than ponder our problems, I chose to enumerate every indication of God's presence. See, Dave Early did that with the person who wanted to end their life. Count your blessings. For example, I needed a rental trailer. The owner of the shop turned out to be a friend of a friend and got me one. I needed a trailer hitch. It was a Friday afternoon, and I needed it installed before Saturday. On my second call, I found a shop that just happened to have the one I needed and made it available and could meet the deadline and put it on for me. I needed to pay the lawn worker who was caring for Dylan's father's house. He just happened to be parked in front of the house when I went to check on it. We needed to find a physician and a home health care team. The physician's office took my call and scheduled an appointment. The home health care team found a worker who could meet us at our home. I found a buyer for the car my father-in-law had been driving. The assisted living facility knew someone who needed the furniture we were leaving behind. I made the deliberate decision to interpret each of these good turns as evidence of God's blessings and presence. Little by little, the gray clouds lifted. The blue sky began to peek through, and I can honestly say I sensed what in my life? Peace. Kristen Taylor discovered the same calmness. Recently, she and her family went back to Rebecca's doctors in Minnesota. 7 months earlier, Rebecca was barely surviving. Now, one day before her 13th birthday, Rebecca's vibrant, full of life. She had gained a remarkable 30 pounds. Her health's improving. She was named the hospital's walking miracle. Kristen wrote, I watched these interactions with a silent sense of awe. It is easy to praise God during seasons of wellness, but it was during the greatest distress I felt the Lord's presence really moved in and poured over me. And it was in those heartbreaking moments I learned to trust God a little more. Let's remember three key things about being anxious, worrying, fretting, and doubt. First of all, God's promised to take care of us. You know, is God a liar? Is God a... No, he's not a liar. I don't even like to say that, but I'm just trying to make a point. If God said he'd be here, what? He'll be here. If God said, I'll take care of you, I'll take care of you. But God, I quit that. Resolve. God's promised to take care of us. Number two, when we worry or become anxious, it's almost like we don't trust God, or we don't take him at his word or believe in him. Number three, that when we trust God instead of worrying, God is given glory and we are given peace. We are given peace. One of the toughest days, Max writes, is this. Now, you've heard this little phrase, but I'm going to pass it on. One of the toughest days of my life found me in a diner in Dalton, Georgia. I was 19 years old, and one weekend in my first summer of college, I was 1,000 miles from home. I was sleeping at the Salvation Army shelter, where the night before an inebriated guy on the bunk above me leaned over and puked right on me. If homesickness was water, I would have been soaked to the bone. On the promise of fast cash and a few sights, I joined up with two other friends and signed on to sell books door to door. I'm going door to door. My friends went home. I was all alone. I went to the field and made 3 discoveries. No one likes a door-to-door salesman. And my first day was miserable because it went something like this. Hello, I'm Mike. Okay, that was the door slam. Hello, I'm Mike. There's the next door. Hello, I'm... Day 2 wasn't any better. I was lower than a snake's belly, and at lunch I dragged myself into a diner, nursed my bruised ego, and ate a hamburger. As I was paying my bill, I spotted a display of a magnetized, rubberized truism adjacent to the cash register. One was yellow, shaped like a lemon, and it contained these words: when life gives you a lemon, make lemonade. The slogan was folksy and corny and homespun, I know, but I'd never heard it before, and it was just enough to convince me to keep at the job. I bought the magnet. I fixed it to the metal strip on the dashboard of my 73 Plymouth Duster. I had a 71 Plymouth Duster. I had something. I didn't have a magnet. I had a cut-off little paper that said, only one life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. I had that because my speedometer didn't work, so I just put that right there. Don't be laughing, but it was great. I wish I still had that. He said that spoke to me. When I got discouraged, I would rub my thumb over the rubber lemon and remind myself, I can make myself miserable, or I can make myself some lemonade. People had slammed doors, and they'd still slam doors, and I still wonder what in the world I was doing so far from home, but I survived. It's been 4 decades since that day in the diner. Much has changed, but this much hasn't. Life still gives me lemons. It's just that it seems like some people love to suck on and make life sour. Of course, my prospects of a miserable summer are nothing compared to the lemons you've been handed. Just recently, I spoke with an elderly woman whose husband has been diagnosed with dementia. She needs to take away his car keys. I spoke with a single mom who can't remember her last good night's sleep. She wonders if she has what it takes to raise kids. I spoke to a middle-aged man who's reeling from the consequences of a divorce. He wonders if he'll ever be happy again. Life still gives us lemons. Life gives lemons to good people. Bad people, old people, all people. Life comes with lemons. We don't have to suck on them. So I resolve to say, life gives us lemons. We don't have to suck on them. And instead, we can make lemonade. Pray with me. Dear Jesus, today we have a choice. Right now, we can have those things in our life that we don't especially like. Apostle Paul prayed from the Philippian jail cell and wrote the words, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. A man's in a jail cell saying rejoice. The man's been shipwrecked 5 times. He's been shipwrecked 3 times, beaten 5 times, snake bit, left for dead, and yet he says rejoice. It's because he reflected on the good things, the ones he had met, the people he had met, and the blessings that you brought his way. I want right now, for the next few moments, Lord Jesus, as we pray, would you bring the things to mind in people's lives right now that they should be thankful for? Oh, Jesus, if you saved us from hell, if we've trusted you as our Savior, then that alone is all you ever had to do. You didn't have to do that, but we should be thankful. We've got a home in heaven. Our names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. If we've still got a mom and dad alive, help us to be thankful. If our mom and dad's in heaven with you, be thankful. They were saved when they left this place, and they're rejoicing with you now. If we've got brothers and sisters, may we be thankful. If we've got health to walk in this building, help us to be thankful. Lord, if we do that long enough, we'll soon forget what we wanted to gripe about. Paul sang in a prison cell in Acts when he won the Philippian jailer over to you. He and Silas were singing at midnight, not groaning. Jesus, that convicts me. Tomorrow when I walk in the cell, I'm going to be the most positive person in the building. No one's going to rob my joy. So Jesus, would you right now help us to reflect on what you give us. Make that resolve to not worry anymore and to rejoice in you. And pretty soon we'll do that every day and it'll become a routine. So Jesus, please change us today. For you set the perfect example when you said, not my will, but thine be done. And then you went on a mission. And that mission was to the cross. So Jesus, thank you for being my risen Savior today. I pray that you forgive me of all my sins, and Jesus, wash me whiter than snow, as Isaiah reminds us. Cleanse me, and Jesus, help me to start out again. Some folks need to be reminded they can be forgiven. Lord, we're not perfect, just forgiven, Lord, Christian. We need some hope, we need some encouragement. Whether it's an algebra test, or whether it's a car that doesn't run too well, or whether it's a family member, or Jesus, a friend, or Lord, I don't know. You just look through the hearts of the people in this room and find it, and help us to be honest with you now. Because we need you. We need you every hour. So Jesus, now help us to pause and be still before you.